Yesterday was World Hijab Day, and that's a day, of course, that marks the wearing of the hijab. It was founded by Nazma Khan in 2013, and it takes place on the 1st of February each year in 140 countries worldwide. Its purpose is to encourage women of all religions and backgrounds to wear and experience the hijab for a day and to educate and spread awareness on why the hijab is worn. Now, this comes on the heel of a lot that's been going on right now in the Islamic community and the Muslim community, specifically looking to tie this conversation through to Quebec and Bill 21 and the Canadian anti-Islamophobia representative who was forced, who had to apologize because of perceptions of statements that were made. I want to dive all into this with someone who I couldn't think of better to speak to about it locally, Sarah Mushtaq, who writes about race, gender, and life in our world today, featured across Canadian media all over the place. Sarah, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me, John.
Hey, so thank you. Yeah, tell me a little bit about World Hijab Day. What does it mean to you?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm not going to lie that some days it does feel a little bit gimmicky, but I think it's also an important day where, you know, folks can understand that Muslim women are not a monolith. There's different people who wear hijab in different ways. The journey looks very different for lots of people. Some people choose not to wear it. Some people wear it, take it off, put it back on. And so that experience is, you know, really unique to each person. So I think that's probably the biggest takeaway for me for World Hijab Day.
So it's just it normalizes it and it makes people, you know, understand it. It makes it not as foreign a concept.
For sure. I mean, I think that should be happening any day and every day, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to pick up a token Muslim woman just on February 1st to learn about it. You know, in some of my writing, I talk a lot about, you know, we should be, you know, have friends from all different backgrounds all the time, not on certain days. But if this is the day that kind of opens the door for you, then I think it's a really great opportunity for a lot of people.
Definitely. And, you know, so we're looking at this, and I guess the irony being, and I hate to use that in that way because, you know, it can come across as comedic, and I certainly don't mean that. You know, public employees in Quebec would not have been able to participate in World Hijab Day. Let's talk a little bit about, I'm going to call it a racist law. I don't see any other way to speak about what Bill 21 is, a religious symbols ban for public servants that would prohibit Muslims from wearing hijabs. It would prohibit Jews from wearing kippahs or yarmulkes, but it doesn't prohibit the wearing of a crucifix because that is a cultural symbol. The Beaverton, I think, put it best when we're talking about this situation with our new anti-Islamophobia representative. The headline of the Beaverton article being, Quebec outraged that anti-Islamophobia representative is able to identify Islamophobic law. I was hoping, Sarah, I could get your perspective about this situation, about Amira El-Gawabi, and how it's all playing out right now on our national stage.
For sure. I think when you spoke about irony, that's dead on, right? We're just days after the 6th anniversary of the Quebec City mass shooting. That, you know, one of the worst massacres in Canadian history, which was faith-based, happened in Quebec. And yet we still have this discomfort in this country, not just in Quebec, but across the country, of wanting to acknowledge discrimination head on and wanting to acknowledge that racism does exist in this country. And I think it's really unfortunate that, you know, still 6 years after this event, that, you know, we finally get the special representative on Islamophobia, that we still can't have an honest conversation about what Islamophobia looks like in this country and how it manifests itself.
Yeah, and no kidding. And I mean, like, is this Islamophobia, the situation at hand?
I think it's a very textbook example of Islamophobia. And I'm not laughing because I think it's funny, but it's almost like I'm laughing because it's you know, it's almost satire, like how the Beaverton described it. It's, you know, I think it's just really heartbreaking, actually, at the end of the day, that we can't acknowledge how Islamophobia exists, right? Like, there have been countless studies about this. about the experience of Muslim women in Quebec, about other religious minorities as well. But, you know, this specifically targets Muslim women the most, and their ability to participate in society writ large, right? They're facing hate crime, they're facing discrimination, harassment, bullying. They don't have, you know, the sort of economic mobility in the public sector because of this. Like, these are systemic barriers. And they are due in large part due to this to Bill 21. So I think it's quite ironic that, you know, we want someone to talk about Islamophobia, but we don't want to hear the hard truth about it.
Well, and you know what, the piece that Amira El-Gawabi wrote with Bernie Farber of the Canadian Jewish Congress, they were both on the board of the Canadian Anti-Hate Network at the time. It was citing to polling data that showed that a majority of Quebecers who supported the bill also held anti-Muslim views. It's not like they just came out and made these statements, right? It was based on actual fact.
That's exactly it, right? And so I think there's two things there. This, you know, what they were saying is based on that poll, and there's been many other polls showing similar sentiments, that, you know, there is support of Bill 21, unfortunately, across the province and across other areas in the country as well, and that often correlates with anti-Islamic sentiments. And then I think there is a special irony here, too, since irony seems to be the theme of the day for us, that, you know, Amira is being attacked here, but not her co-author, Mr. Farber, right? You know, he also said this, and rightfully so, right? You know, he's from a community that's also facing an increase of anti-Semitism over the last few years. Like, we know that hate crimes have gone up against many, many communities. So it's just really unfortunate that it's manifesting itself in this way, and that we're still, all these years later, not able to have an honest conversation about Islamophobia.
Well, and, you know, we're 7 years after then Prime Minister Stephen Harper decided to run his last campaign on, in many cases, Islamophobia. And that, you know, the niqab ban for public servants was tossed around as an idea back then. And it's just, you know, it's just, to me, I find it shameful that 7 years later, we haven't really shifted that conversation or changed that paradigm. And in fact, I think, you know, some could argue that it's obviously gotten worse depending on how you look at it. Sarah, I guess what keeps you optimistic about this, you know, this fight that you're in, that society is in, these different forces that are constantly coming against each other? Is there anything that keeps you optimistic about it?
Look, if you had asked me the day that Amira was appointed as, you know, the special representative on Islamophobia, I would have said that made me really optimistic. But then I think that optimism was cooled very quickly, seeing the sort of public response against what I would argue that she was telling the truth about our society. So, you know, I think I kind of go back and forth. I will say that, you know, it's been nice to see over the past few years more and more people are understanding what racism really looks like, how, you know, systemic discrimination manifests itself in our communities, and are really trying to get out there and kind of, you know, be good allies. So I think, you know, we're not in this alone. It's going to take all of us as a community to really, you know, break down Islamophobia, because at the end of the day, it's not just about Muslims, right? Any sort of marginalized group can be affected in this way. You know, we hear this adage quite a bit, you know, if you come for one group's rights, you'll go for the rights of another group at another point. So we're all in this together, and I think that has been something positive to see, that more and more people are willing to be allies on this.
Well, and you hope that more people will continue to be, as there's more conversations about it and as people learn more through more education. And that's what I always hope to achieve through these conversations. Sarah, I can't believe it's the first time I've had you on AM800, though, when I've been on. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, John. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Sarah Mushtaq writes about race, gender, and life in today's changing world. You can hear all about what she writes about across her social media, as well as throughout Canadian media as well. And I'm very happy to have spoken about, you know, World Hijab Day and all of this anti-hijab legislation and how it relates to this Islamophobia that we're dealing with here in the country.